Well, it's Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend. Everybody's cheering, and finally you got a day off. Let me share some background about Labor Day. Labor Day is a national legal holiday that's over 100 years old. Over the years, it has evolved from a purely labor union celebration into a general last fling of summer festival. Labor Day grew out of a celebration and a parade in honor of the working class by the Knights of Labor in 1882 in New York City. In 1884, the Knights held a large parade in New York City celebrating the working class. The parade was held on the first Monday in September. The Knights passed a resolution to hold all future parades on the same day, designated by them as Labor Day. In the late 1880s, labor organizations began to lobby various state legislatures for recognition of Labor Day as an official state holiday. The first states to declare it a state holiday was in 1887. Those states were the first states were Oregon, New York, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. Then in 1894, Congress passed a law recognizing Labor Day as an official national holiday. So today, Labor Day is observed not only in the U.S., but also in Canada and in other industrialized nations. It has come to be recognized in the United States not only as a celebration of the working class, but even more so as the unofficial end of the summer season. Over the years since the establishment of Labor Day, there have been movements to see the work week dropped from 5 days to 4 days, thereby giving the laborer even more time to enjoy and rest and participate in recreational activities with his family, which in turn some believe, or some suggest, would improve the worker's morale, help to make him he or she a better worker, and thereby create a more positive asset for the employer. Can I see the hands of the folks here that believe that's true? Would you like me to read that again? Let me read that again, and I want to just see the hands of the folks that believe that that's true. Over the years since the establishment of Labor Day, there have been movements to see the work week drop from 5 days to 4 days, thereby giving the laborer even more time to enjoy rest and recreation with his family, which in turn, it has been suggested, would improve his morale, help to make him a better worker, and thereby create a more positive asset for the employer. In other words, the idea is the more rest one gets, the better worker one becomes. How many of you agree with that? Come on, if you agree with it. No. How many disagree with that? And listen, and some of you are Laodiceans, you know. Some of you out there are Laodiceans. Well, I believe it can work both ways. I believe it is possible, depending upon what the work is. But I don't know if this is true or not, but I do know that man needs rest. And even with a four-day work week, man is not likely to get the rest he truly needs, because man's labor and frustration with labor is his reward for failing to obey the Word of God. Anybody know when Labor Day truly began? Anybody care to suggest when the first Labor Day began? That's exactly right. So if you've got your Bible this morning, and I hope that you've got your Bible, I want you to open to Genesis chapter 3. To Genesis chapter 3. And just so that we can get the back, and I know that many Christians or every Christian ought to be very familiar with Genesis chapter 3. If you understand what happened in Genesis chapter 3, you can understand what's going on and why things are so corrupt in our world today, and why things are happening in our world the way they're happening. Let me begin. I'm going to focus mostly on verses 17, 18, and 19, but let's go through and just read the scripture, Genesis chapter 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, how wonderful it is to know you as our personal Savior. How wonderful it is, Father, to know that we have a home in glory, Father, where Labor Day, our laboring in heaven, Father, is not going to be a labor of frustration, or it's not going to be a labor of fatigue. It's going to be a labor that that we can rejoice in and be excited about, and just for all eternity, Father, we'll be in heaven working and laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look forward to that, Father. The Bible teaches us that there's going to be work in heaven, and we're anxious about getting on to that, Father. But as we do that work in heaven, the Bible also teaches us that we'll be working in a different body. In a different body, a physical body of flesh and bone, but there'll be no fatigue and there'll be no drudgery or weakness or anything like that. Father, we look forward to that day that you call us home, that we can be with you. Father, we thank you for a home in glory. We thank you for your word that keeps us on track. And so many times, especially today, Father, so many are departing from the word of God and yet still claim a close relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They read many books and share from many books and men have written, but seldom, Father, do we hear them go back to the Word of God and read the Word of God and be convinced by what thus saith the Lord. Father, bless your people this morning. You, as we share your word, Father, I pray that if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that today the beating of the Holy Spirit upon that heart, that heart will open and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. That's the first question in the Bible. The first question of the Bible questions the Word of God. So today, in society today, every time you hear somebody say, "Well, does the Word of God really mean that? Is that exactly what God intends for you to understand?" Well, when somebody says that, you can just about count it down, mark it down, and count on it that they're echoing the first question of the Bible, which was a question that came forth by Satan, and it questions the Word of God. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So she enhances the Word of God a little bit. God didn't say that they couldn't touch it. God said you should not to participate, not to eat from it. "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know." Now that's a direct contradiction to the Word of God. Satan is a liar. Satan's a liar. He was a liar yesterday. He's a liar today. He'll be a liar tomorrow. And he's going to be lying until God cast him into outer darkness. "For God doth know," and so here again, verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And so what is Satan saying about God? God's holding out on you. God, if you'll just violate his word, if you'll just disregard his word, if you just go ahead and do what you want to do, you can be just as smart as God. Is that true today? That's not true today. That's not true. It's not true yesterday or today. It won't be true tomorrow. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes." Now, look, listen to this. This is all appealing to the flesh. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband." Now, is she dead? She took a bite out of that fruit. Is she dead? No, she's not dead. But it says here, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both. I want you to know that the moment that Adam ate from that fruit, the Holy Spirit was jerked right out of him. The Holy Spirit was jerked right out of him. He was created in the image of God, and part of that image was of having the presence of the Holy Spirit. But at that moment, when Adam rejected the Word of God, listened to his wife who had been deceived by the devil, the Holy Spirit was jerked right out of him. Because look at the change. Verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Now, that's the second set of clothing, by the way, that they had. The first set of clothing was the very light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God the Shekinah glory that surrounded the Adam and Eve. And then when that light went out, here they tried to sew fig leaves to fashion something to cover their body. And so that's the second set of clothes that they'll have. We'll see that they've got a third set of clothes as well. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Wouldn't you love to walk in the garden in the cool of the day with the Lord Jesus? How wonderful that is. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Sin always makes us run away from God. I tell you, we are sinners saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for people who are living in sin, and they feel like that because they're so wrapped up in sin, they cannot turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you rebuke the devil, and you run to the Lord Jesus, because he's there with open arms. He's ready to receive you. Don't believe the lie of the devil that God is not open, that God's heart is not opened and receptive to you. The Bible says it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm thankful for his compassion and his mercy and his love. But here, Adam and Eve, before they were walking in the cool of the day, they had fellowship with God and in Christ in the garden. Yet now, because of their fallen nature, they run to hide from God. You can't hide from God. Nobody can hide from God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now there's the second question of the Bible. The first question was asked by Satan for destruction. The second question is asked by God for salvation. Where art thou? This morning, every Christian ought to be asking themselves, where are you this morning in your relationship, in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you faring? How are you laboring today for the Lord Jesus? Are you laboring today to gain financial gain, to gain power or some worldly benefit? Or are you laboring in the world today to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Where art thou? That's what God says. And Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said to woman, see how he's become a finger pointer? A finger pointer. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Now that's rebellion. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." And that's exactly what the devil did. He beguiled Eve into believing a lie. It was like going at, like men, your wife goes out and she needs a car, and so she goes to a used car lot and she buys what the salesman says is the best deal on the lot, and she drives home a lemon. Well, that's exactly what Eve got. Satan sold her a lemon, a bill of goods. So Eve says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle," that means all animals, "and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put hatred," enmity is hatred, "I will put hatred between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now that's the first prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. All through the Old Testament, you'll hear God talk about the seed of Abraham, the seed of Jacob, the seed of this man, the seed of that man. But the seed of the woman, there's only one seed of the woman that can bear a child. And that seed is none other than who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's prophecy, "And I will put hatred between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." One of these days, Satan, you're going to be put under. "And thou shalt bruise his heel." On Calvary's cross, Satan did the very best he could to destroy the body and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, 3 days later, what happened? God in Christ Jesus rose from the dead. "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over the. And let me tell you, ladies, the pain and the suffering, the agony of childbirth is not the only thing that's mentioned here. When you see your children grow up and you see them make mistakes and you see them stumble and fall, did you know that a father can handle that better than a mother can? When a mother sees her child stumble and fall, she stumbles and fall. It's just like she was the one that stumbled and fell. And so in child rearing, listen, you bring a child into this world, we're bringing children into a corrupt world now. And she was going to be, and Eve was going to be bringing children into a corrupt world. And unto Adam he said, listen now, Labor Day. When did Labor Day begin? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. I mean, the moment that Adam sinned, the thorns came out on the beautiful rose bush. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Despite the fact that an employer grants his employee 2, 3, or even 4 days off for rest and relaxation, I personally believe that employee can never truly enjoy the rest or the relaxation that God can give and will give in the future to all of those that come to him by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will look at that in just a moment. In Exodus chapter 20, let me read what it says about laboring. Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, verses 8 through 11. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many days shalt thou labor? 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know why God did that? Let me tell you. Now, you know, well, Jim, how do you know what was in God's mind? If God hadn't put that in there, man would have got 7 days a week out of the animals. He'd have got 7 days a week out of his employers. God says you need a day of rest. I'm going to ordain a day of rest for you. And of course, he was talking to the Jewish nation. I mean, the Ten Commandments at that time were given to the Jewish nation. But even in Genesis chapter 2, or in Genesis chapter 1, we see in Genesis chapter 2 that God created in 6 days. He worked for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, after all was completed, he rested. God intends for us to have a rest. But today, I'll guarantee you, we can never enjoy the rest, the true rest that God calls us to, and especially the spiritual rest that God calls us to if we're living outside a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Adam and Eve rejected the word of God, their rest in God was perfect. Even though they had a work to do in the tending of the garden, they experienced neither weariness nor fatigue. Christ was even there to fellowship with them, probably on a daily basis. But when Eve was deceived by the devil, and Adam rejecting the word of God, in turn hearkened to the voice of his wife, perfect peace and perfect rest in God was broken. Now, if you're still in Genesis chapter 3, let me read the closing verses 21 through 24. look what happened when that perfect peace was broken. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Where did those coats of skins come from? God had to kill something to get those coats of skin. Remember, they were standing in the light, then they're standing there with those pitiful fig leaves, and now God is about to clothe them with the clothing that you and I need today. And that's the clothing of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God slew, I believe, little lambs and took their coats and made coats of skins for them to cover them. This was the appropriate garment that they needed as he sent him out of the garden. Unto Adam, verse 21, also, and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. This is the first killing in the Bible. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us. Who is us? The Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us. The Mormon church will tell you that there are many gods in heaven. And they'll point to this verse and say, There's many gods in heaven. Look at that. Who's the us? Anybody who would like to share who the us is? The us is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Father spoke, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and Jesus Christ came out of the water. Amen? So the us is the family, the unity of God, the family of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He is a sinner. He's a sinner. He's outside the will of God. Adam and Eve are sinners. And now if they were to reach forth and take from the tree of life, they would live for all eternity. How? Separated from God. Separated from God. So God says, listen, by grace, In my mercy and compassion, I'm going to send them away from the tree of life until I can send an appropriate redeemer. And that's what he did. Therefore, the Lord God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man has been living a restless life ever since the fall. But God, in his tender mercy and compassion, has made a way for man to enter again one day into that perfect peace and that perfect rest enjoyed by our earthly parents many, many years ago. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus, the Son of God, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that, what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what? Rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus came to restore the broken fellowship between God and man by taking our sin, your sin and my sin, on his own body, bearing it to Calvary's cross, and thereby making atonement for you and I. So one of these days, as we look forward to it, and as we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the eastern sky will split. The eastern sky won't split until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the rapture of the church, those that are in Christ Jesus are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That could happen this afternoon. That could happen even before Kristen has her shower. You know, I was sharing that one time with a couple and their children. The little daughter was standing by, And I told her, I looked at her the little daughter, and I don't like to exclude anybody, you know, when you're talking. You don't like to. And I looked at the little daughter. I said, won't you be happy when the Lord Jesus comes and the rapture of the church takes place? And she said, she told me direct, she says, nope, because I haven't got my driver's license yet. And that's the way young people think. And that's the way young people think. That's the way some more mature people think as well. They want more of this world. And have no idea. You know, I'll never forget, I have sat at the bedside of folks that have left this world. Some have left this world in a miserable state. Others have left this world with a beautiful smile on their face. We need to be ready to go. Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, are you resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? This Labor Day, what kind of rest will you get? What kind of rest will you get? Let me share with you just here. What kind of a labor should our labor for the Lord be? Listen, we certainly want rest, but we also want to be busy about working for the Lord Jesus. Our labor in the Lord Jesus should be a labor that's not in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible, Paul says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. That's what we need today. That's what we need today. We need Christians who are steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are working for a sure promise, my friends. Working for a sure promise. And by the way, we're not working to get to heaven. God has already provided that for us. God has already opened the door to us by the way of the Lord Jesus and our acknowledgement of Him to eternal life. But I tell you this, we're working that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ in us and be drawn to Him. Our labor should be known and approved of Christ. In Revelation 2, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, God says, I know thy works. God knows your works this morning. And thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. God knows our work. We want God to know about our work. And finally, our labor should be a labor of love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, we give thanks to God always. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. My. Listen, we're going to enjoy Labor Day weekend. I trust that you have a good time this weekend. I hope that you don't have to work on Labor Day. But let's do this. Let's remember this Labor Day weekend, where labor first began and what Christ has done for us to lift that burden of labor in the very near future. Amen? Amen. You may be here this morning. You've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, that God has given you a gift. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. If God has given you a gift, you don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You don't earn it. I tell you, any mother who comes to her children on Christmas morning and begins to pass out the gifts and the presents and then says, listen, before you open any of these gifts, I need you to go out and mow the lawn. Well, you know, kids will be out mowing the lawn because they want those gifts. But God says, but then it's not a gift, is it? It's something that you work for, that you deserve. I deserve that gift because I mowed the lawn. Well, God, that's not a gift at all. That's a wage. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve that. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, my friend, let me tell you, if you're here without Christ this morning, you've never made a personal commitment to Christ, Jesus, the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God's done it all. And He opens His heart and He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, are in heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that richly blesses and moves. And this morning, Father, if there's one here that's never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus, there may be somebody here too that's sitting on the fence. Why, they see the world and then they see the Lord and they think, oh, what I have to give up in order to respond to the Lord. My friend, let me tell you, don't you ever think that what you're giving up is more than what the Lord can bless you with. Because the Lord can outgive. And when He gives gifts that are a blessing not only to you, but to Him as well. And He can give you above all things peace of heart as we live in a world that is quickly just falling apart. We're going to get saved. We need to get saved today because tomorrow may be too late. Christ says, come unto me. He says, come unto me today. Come unto me today. Tomorrow may be too late. As this altar is open, and if you've never made a personal commitment, maybe you have, maybe you're walking adrift, you need to come and rededicate your heart to the Lord Jesus. Because today is the day that the Lord hath made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it, but it may be the last day you ever have an opportunity to make amends for your wayward walk. Now, Father, just bless. You get praise, get honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.